We open the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, and we'll read the entire chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words which I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. We want to consider tonight verse 15, where Jesus tells his disciples, If ye love me, keep my commandments. Several weeks ago, beloved, we looked at the question of Jesus to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And we've begun since then to look at various applications of that question to ourselves, to ask ourselves the question, do I love Jesus? And that's a very important question. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22, the apostle says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. It's important. Do you love the Lord Jesus? It's the position of unbelief. It's the position of the world to hate Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 15, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. This is the position of the world over against Christ. It hates Christ. Do you love Christ? Now, in order to answer that question, do I love Christ? We need to look at different aspects of our life to see how this love for Christ will display itself in our lives. And so the last time we considered this question, lovest thou me? We looked at it from the point of view of Psalm 119, verse 97, where the psalmist says, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And we saw there the psalmist's intense, constant love for the Word of God. We made application from that to ourselves. That's one of the main ways that we show that we love the Lord Jesus. We love the Word. We love the Scriptures. We love God's revelation of Jesus Christ, the way of salvation. And we live out of that Word. We meditate on the Word. It's our life and our light from day to day. Tonight we want to look at another application from the words of Jesus here. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And this teaches us that another important way that we show our love for Jesus is by obedience. In Jesus' question to Peter, that can be seen. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, well, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter's answer is, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then Jesus' response is, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Three times. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, Peter, this is how you prove it. This is how you demonstrate it. Obedience to the calling that I've given to you. Obedience flows out of love. It's one of the main expressions of love. And the Bible makes plain that if a person doesn't obey the commandments of God, then that person doesn't love God. If a person doesn't obey the commandments of Christ, then that person doesn't love Christ. Right here in John 14 and verse 24, Jesus says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. A person who doesn't love the Lord is a disobedient person. A disobedient person is one who doesn't love the Lord. And John puts that very strongly in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And John is saying there, you can say that you love him, but if you don't obey him, you're a liar. That's not true. You don't love him. He says the same thing in 1 John 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And so tonight we want to look at that from the point of view of the text before us. Obedience is important for the Christian. The Christian is not one who ignores or dismisses or treats lightly the demands of the Word of God. But out of His love for Christ, out of His love for the Word of God, he obeys. He treasures the commandments of the Word of God. As he loves the Word of God, so he loves to obey the Word of God. Our theme tonight will be Love is Obedient. Love is Obedient. Let's notice first the connection between those two things, love and obedience. And then in the second place, let's notice how this manifests itself. And then third, the possibility. As we read Jesus' final words of comfort to His disciples here in John chapter 14, it seems that these words of Jesus here in verse 15 are very out of place. And many commentators are puzzled by their presence. Why does Jesus, in the midst of His words of comfort, tell His disciples, "Keep my commandments"? What kind of comfort is that? The disciples are hurting. Jesus has told them plainly that He's going away, that He's going to leave them in the physical sense, and that they won't be able to come with Him, that they'll be left here in the earth on their own without Him. And that disturbs them. That creates anxieties and all kinds of questions. They love the Lord, and His leaving that leaves an empty spot in their lives. And so He's comforting them here. In the first verses of the chapter, He tells them why He's going away. He's going away in verse 2, "Because in My Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He promises them that He's going to do something for them. He promises that when He's gone, He will send them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and that because of Him, they'll be able to do greater works than even the ones that He Himself did during His earthly ministry. In verse 12, "He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." He promises them that He will hear them, and He will answer their prayers. In verses 13 and 14, "If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." And so there's comfort for them. But then He interjects this word, "If ye love Me, keep My commandments." Why? How does it fit? And He says it not only once. In some ways, it's a theme that runs through the chapter. Again, in verse 21, He says, "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me." And then again in verse 23, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words." So this is of major importance and interest to Jesus. Why does He keep saying, "If ye love Me, keep My commandments"? And this is the answer. Jesus is directing their love to something higher and better. He's directing their love to something higher and more superior. They are filled with regrets and disappointments because Jesus is going away. And that's an evidence of their love. And Christ is pleased with them that they love Him so and that they'll miss Him when He's gone. But tenderly and repeatedly here, He redirects their affections. He says, in effect, "Your love for Me must not just be manifested in these inconsolable regrets and griefs that you have, but your love must be expressed in this very positive way that you treasure My words and My commandments by obeying them." That's love, obedience. John Calvin says the love which the disciples loved Christ, with which the disciples loved Christ was true and sincere, and yet there was some superstition mixed with it, as is frequently the case with ourselves. For it was very foolish of them to wish to keep Him in this world, and so to correct this fault, He bids them direct their love to another end, and that is to employ themselves in keeping the commandments which He had given them. This is what Christ is saying. the highest, the truest expression of your love for me is in your obedience to my words. Obedience is better than emotion. Doing and following Jesus Christ and doing His words is more superior to sentimental expressions of love and to deep feelings. If ye love me, says Christ, keep my commandments. Love is not merely a feeling. Love is practical. Love is an activity. Love evidences itself. It shows itself in what a person does. Now we can just take an example in the family. A parent says, I love my children. A husband says, I love my wife. Is it enough that they say it? And would you believe that that love is genuine just from their words if you saw in their behavior something different? This is what Jesus is saying to His disciples. Get beyond your words. Get beyond your feelings. Get beyond your regrets. And prove that you love me by your obedience to my word. This is the proof of love to Christ. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, what are the commandments of Jesus Christ? Well, very simply, the commandments of Jesus Christ are all the will of God laid out in Scripture concerning what we must do, what we must think, what we must believe, what we must feel, and even what we must suffer. And that includes all the law of God, the commandments in the Old Testament. It includes all the commands and the exhortations and the admonitions of the Word of God. It includes all the teaching of Jesus Christ about what a disciple should be. And these commandments which we are to keep, to obey, have bearing on every single person's life in every single situation. A child as well as an adult. There are commandments for those under authority as well as those with authority. There are commandments for home, for work, for school. There are commandments that have to do with our speech, with our thoughts, with all those different aspects of our life. Just think of the Ten Commandments and think of how comprehensive they are. As we go through them again and again in the Heidelberg Catechism, they cover so many areas, every area of our moral conduct. These are the commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Christ did not come to do away with the law. Christ came Himself to show the validity of the law by obeying the law Himself, by fulfilling it perfectly, by setting for us a pattern of obedience to the commandments of God for us to follow, so that we, as the Apostle says, should walk in His steps. And this is the heart of the law, love. As Jesus summarizes it Himself, love the Lord with all your being, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You only have to go back a few verses. John 13 and verse 35. Verse 34. John 13, verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And this is what Jesus is saying. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and this is how that obedience will display itself in your love for one another. And so there's an inseparable connection between love and obedience. Love is obedient. Without obedience, love is dead. Love is not merely emotion. Do you love Jesus Christ? Then you will give respect to the commandments and to the Word of God. You'll find them important. You'll obey. You'll obey. And often, maybe it used to be said this way more, but a person would be described this way. That man loves the Lord. That woman loves the Lord. And what's the criteria? That person is dedicated, committed, obedient to the Word of God. Now this is very important. It's very important from a doctrinal point of view. There is, first of all, the heresy of antinomianism, which says that the law doesn't matter. Obedience doesn't matter. Salvation is all of grace, so it really doesn't matter that we obey or not obey. We're saved by grace. Don't tell us what we must do. Just tell us what Christ has done. And the antinomian speaks of sanctification, of holy living, as something that's natural and that's automatic, that there doesn't need to be exhortation, and they resist any teaching which commands the believer to live a certain way. Now that can't stand against this Word of God, this Word of Jesus. Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He repeats it. This is important to him as he leaves. Not once, not twice, but three times in this chapter. Obedience. If ye love me, you will obey. Yes, salvation is all of grace. Sanctification, holy living, obedience is also a work of God's grace. But it's worked in us by the command to believe, by the commands of the Word of God to live a particular way. The law of God is the rule, the guide for gratitude, for holy living. And so we must hear the Word of God, and we must obey the commandments of the Word of God. But then there's also the modern day error of sentimental religion. A religion, a Christianity that's all words and songs and feelings, in which God is a big softy who requires nothing and loves anyone and everyone just as they are. And it's a false comfort that preaches a false God and a false gospel. God is just. He will reward sinners for their disobedience. He's holy, and He says, be ye holy as I also am holy. And we need to reckon with this God and His justice and His holiness. And that means not only that we trust in Jesus Christ for all of our salvation as we find ourselves unrighteous in ourselves, but it means also this, that we repent and that we turn from our sin and that we live in the way of obedience to the commandments of God. Love is obedient. This is important. And it's important from a practical point of view, important for us. Important for our young people, important for all of us who live in a comfortable covenant church community. We were tempted sometimes to think that the outward things are the proofs of our salvation. We're church members. We were raised in Christian homes. We have Christian parents. We come to church faithfully. We're tempted to think that we've arrived, and we give little regard in our hearts and in our lives to sin and to obedience to the commandments of God. We use our tongues freely to sin. We live lives in sinful abandon. Well, we're church members. We're saved. Jesus says love is obedient. Ephesians 5. The Bible is very clear. Ephesians 5 verses 3 through 6. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Don't be deceived. Love is obedient. Obedience is important. Don't be deceived. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So there's the connection. Now, how does that obedience display itself? How does it manifest itself? What does it look like? And here, we want to look at what the Bible says about obedience. What pattern the Bible lays for obedience. If obedience is love, then true obedience is true love, and we want our obedience to be as true as it can be, sincere. And the first thing that we should see is that our obedience should be patterned after the obedience of Jesus Christ. He was our example. In Philippians chapter 2, the apostle says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Then he talks about the humility of Christ, not only, but also the obedience of Jesus Christ. He became obedient unto death, he said. That's what Jesus is talking about in the end of John 14 and verse 31. He says that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment. Even so I do. Let us go hence. What does he mean? Well, God has a command for him. And he will be obedient to the divine will, which is the cross. And as Christ was subject to and obedient to the will of the Father, so we should obey the commandments of God. Our obedience ought to be patterned after the obedience of the angels in heaven. We pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Heidelberg Catechism makes plain that that means we should obey God as the angels do in heaven. The angels obey God gladly. That's their delight. There's never any hesitation. They obey God promptly. They don't complain. They don't question God's will. They obey God thoroughly, completely. They don't do half of what God tells them to do. They don't think, well, good enough. Partial obedience. They never grow weary of doing the will of God. They stand before His throne day and night, ready to go at His bidding. That's how obedience manifests itself. Now that sets a very high standard of obedience for us. What that should do is show us how deep this obedience goes. If ye love me, keep my commandments. When Jesus is talking about obedience here, He's not talking about a mere external obedience, but a love-motivated obedience that comes from the depths of a person's being, from the heart. There must be a dedication, a commitment out of which obedience flows. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, Moses talks about it this way, that you serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Our obedience needs to be that deep, that thorough, that it comes from the depths of our being, a willingness, an unreservedness, an unhesitating obedience, constant, undeviating, from the depths of the soul. That's how obedience will manifest itself. That's how we will know that we love the Lord. And tonight you must ask yourself the question, do I obey the commandments of God? And how deep does it go in your being? Does it come from a love, a deep love for God? What is it that prompts you to obey the commandments of God? Is it conformity to an external standard? Is it going with the flow and following what others are doing? And that's why you obey? You don't want to be criticized. You don't want to stand out. What is it? Do you love the Lord? That's what Jesus means. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now we know that this obedience in our lives is never going to be perfect. It's not going to be like the obedience of Christ or like the obedience of the angels. It just isn't. But the primary thing in obedience is this: the desire, the heart, the will. Paul says, the good that I would. That's the depth. That's the sincerity of obedience. Every true believer, there's two things true of every true believer. Deep in his heart is this intense, strong, growing longing to please the Lord, to keep His commandments, to love the Lord, to show that in obedience. Sometimes it's stronger. Sometimes it's weaker, but it's there. A love. And then this is also true, that that desire is never fully realized. But that desire is always there. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 when he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that he presses towards the mark. That's the Christian life. This love, this desire to obey. Yes, we fail along the way, but we learn, and the desire goes stronger. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord looks at the heart. Even Peter, when he was asked by Jesus, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Even Peter, after his bitter fall, could say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Because he had that desire. If you love me, keep my commandments. And when you have that, beloved, that's a manifestation of God's love to you, of a divine work in you. That's what Jesus is talking about when in verse 21 he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus is saying this, the person who obeys knows something, shows something in his life. He knows the love of the Father. He shows through his life the love of God for him and in him. As he obeys, as he loves the commandments of God Himself. In verse 19, Jesus says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. He's saying, I'm going away, but I'm going to manifest myself to you in a much more powerful and glorious way than you know me while I'm here. In verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, is confused by that. He says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He's thinking of Jesus' bodily return. And Jesus is here in the flesh right now with the disciples, and they can see Him, but the world can see Him too. And Judas is confused. Lord, if you come in the flesh again, how is it that the only ones that will be able to see you is us? You'll be manifest to us and not to the world. And it's in answer to that that Jesus says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with Him. And this is what Jesus is saying. You'll know My presence. You display the divine power and presence, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, in obedience. As you obey, you manifest the power of God in your life. It shows the work of God, the Holy Spirit, the greater presence of God than the physical presence of Jesus. And there's something about the experience of the love and the approval of God here. Jesus is saying more than just that the Holy Spirit makes this possible, that you're able to obey Me because of the Holy Spirit. He's saying more than that. He's saying this: as you obey Me, you will know My presence. Verse 23, if a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. As you live in obedience, you will know the love and the presence of God. As you live in disobedience, you will lose the felt presence of God. Several months ago we preached, or we looked together at the Song of Solomon chapter 5. And you have the story there of the Shunammite, or the Shulamite, who, when her husband comes to the door, won't open the door. And she says, I've got my pajamas on, I've put my coat off, I've washed my feet, I'm in bed. And you've been out late. And she rolls over and sleeps. She's disobedient to the voice of her husband. And what does that bring? Well, he doesn't forsake her. But that's what she experiences. She says in verse 6, or verse 5, I rose to open to my beloved. And then verse 6, I opened, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And beloved, when we're disobedient to the commandments of Christ, we won't know the presence and we won't know the love of Christ. It isn't that His love will fail, but it's this: His felt presence will be gone. That's what Jesus is saying here. He doesn't fellowship with the disobedient. He doesn't fellowship with those who don't love Him, who don't keep His commandments. But as we obey, we'll know His presence. And that points us to the only possibility of our obedience. The world cannot obey. The world cannot know His presence because it does not love Him. In verse 24, He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's. And then he talks about the world not knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's their rejection, their hatred, their disobedience. They don't love Him. Because they don't love Him, they don't know Him. Because they don't know Him, they don't have the presence and the power of God. The possibility is in Christ alone. In the heart of the wicked, there's another that fills their heart. As in the case of Judas Iscariot, his heart was filled with the devil. Satan filled his heart. We need the presence and the power and the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. We examine our love, we examine our obedience, and it's not perfect. And as we examine it and see that, we see that every failing was because we failed in our love for the Lord. We loved another. We loved ourselves. We served another. And so we need the Spirit and the grace of the Gospel. And that's what Jesus promises here. In verse 17, He'll send the Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then again in verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. His commandments as well. Jesus is teaching us here that though we have the regenerating power of the Spirit, we need the continual sanctifying presence of the Spirit. He needs to teach us. He needs to lead us. The only possibility of obedience is that we be taught by Him. Do you love the Lord? How important are the commandments of the Word of God to you? How important is obedience to the Word of God to you? There's the proof of your love. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. May God increase our love, our obedience, and our sense of His presence and power. Amen. Father, we pray that Thou would increase our love for the Lord, our love for His Word, and our love to obey, to walk in His steps, and follow Him as His disciples. And we pray that the Word tonight will encourage us in that, that Thou would fill us with Thy Spirit, the only way, and that knowing Thy presence and Spirit, we may be able to do greater works than those done heretofore. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.